Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. According to the second chapter of Luke, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The popular version of the story tells how Mary and Joseph stayed in a stable because all the inns were filled, as people like themselves were forced to travel to places far from home. But if you'll look closely at the gospel, it says nothing about a stable. Why did it say, the popular version say, that they stayed in a stable? It makes sense that a compassionate innkeeper would let them sleep where there was some shelter. That made it convenient to use a feed trough for animals, a manger for the bed of a newborn infant. Luke's story is the narrative of refugees, not tourists, having to travel with a woman about to give birth and then seek shelter in an overcrowded destination. The popular story, we think, is the biblical one, is in fact an imaginative expansion of the few details provided by Luke. I always go through this with my family when we put up the crash scene at home. They want to include the three wise men. And I say, well, that's not the story. The story of the birth in the manger is from Luke. The story of the three wise men is from Matthew. So, and they came much later, so we have to get them out of the scene and put them in later on after the visit of the three magicians. So that popular expansion, if we look at the crash there, we see them with animals and the parents and the manger, the feeding trough, and not in the stable, because it doesn't say anything about a stable in the gospel story. Our Christmas decorations often feature crash sets with a baby in a manger inside a stable surrounded by parents and animals. But Luke says nothing about a stable or animals. The account in Luke chapter 2 says that while they were in Bethlehem, the child was born. And then it was wrapped with improvised coverings and placed in a manger because there was no room inside the inn. Then in verse 12, the shepherds are not told about an inn or a stable. They were sent looking for a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Pretty tragic stuff. The shepherds looked for a couple spending the night outside, as they were doing, who had to improvise to care for a new baby. The spare details of this birth story emphasize the point that Mary and Joseph were temporary refugees as they reached their destination. Using a manger for a crib leads to assuming they were inside a stable, but it seems more likely they were outside, or the stable would have been mentioned. They were Jews from Galilee, having to get along as best they could while they had to remain in Judea. Today, I believe there are Bethlehems all over our world as families are forced to leave home environments, travel to places unprepared for them, and find a way to survive on their own. We watch in shock as Ukrainian families have sought refuge in neighboring countries for wives and children, while husbands remain behind to resist the humanitarian outrages caused by Vladimir Putin's warring ego. And Muslims and Kurds from Syria, Iraq, and Turkey have caused political turmoil in Europe by trying to escape Russian and Iranian-supported violence. There are also Bethlehems along our southern border of the United States, but especially in the vicinity of El Paso, Texas. Crowds of political victims from Central and South America and Caribbean nations are joined by peoples from many other nations in a long pilgrimage, winding through Mexico to the border of our United States. These people, I believe, are not invaders. They are on a modern equivalent of a holy pilgrimage, seeking peace and safety. So we ask, how should we Americans treat these modern-day Marys and Josephs, most of whom are bringing their young children and risking the journey for the sake of the children? Jesus told a parable about the Last Judgment in the 25th chapter of Matthew that I believe applies to this situation. In that parable, Jesus says that His people, the Israelites, were divided into two groups. The first group was those who treated others as if they were Jesus himself, and the other group who failed that test. Refugees of all categories certainly qualify as those in need, as seen by examples in the parables, who should be treated as if they were Jesus himself. But is that how they are being treated? This church has a great ministry to those who are in need, with the outpouring of food and donations in your food pantry. If only other churches, all churches, could treat people as they would treat Jesus. There are three notable patterns in American treatment of these modern-day Marys and Josephs. First, representatives of the United States government are trying to apply laws that acknowledge rights for these people while defending our border. The system they enforce is outdated, and they lack resources to do the job for the large number of people arriving. Their pleas for help have been ignored as the governors of border states team up with members of Congress to impose improvements as amnesty for people they would rather punish and demonize, not assist. And why is that? I believe because stirring up the problems and complaining about it brings political success. Any corrective measures involve political risks that immigrant demonizers will vote them out of power. Staying in office is easier when you blame others for all the things that are wrong. Unfortunately, there is another second pattern stemming from the refusal to improve the system. Governors have begun putting refugees on buses, promising them something good is about to happen, then dumping them in northern locations that were not expecting them. These, I believe, are political stunts that accentuate the disorientation of the refugees and seek to harm northern locations that have not joined in demonizing the influx of refugees. I believe that the governor of Texas directly rejected the Bethlehem message of Jesus by having 3 busloads of refugees suddenly offloaded on Christmas Eve outside the home of Vice President Kamala Harris. The third pattern, I believe, is seen at the border itself and wherever these refugees are taken, as ordinary people respond with humanity and caring to others in need. Large numbers of refugees are being placed in shelters at the border, and a larger number huddling against structures for improvised shelter are being assisted by organizations and volunteers of many varieties. When strangers are suddenly dumped in neighborhoods not expecting them, local citizens and nonprofits and government agencies are responding as quickly as possible to ameliorate human suffering. This Christmas, Bethlehems are popping up all over the United States. Luke's story of Christmas is honored in Christian church services. Christian Christmas sermons emphasize the poverty and humility of a child and family in need. Mary and Joseph and their baby Jesus, even though they were especially chosen by God. Isn't it time we heard all of our churches, all Christian churches, emphasize that refugees are children of God? Let me say that again. Isn't it time we heard all our churches emphasize that refugees are children of God, and that our extending loving care is required of anyone who wants to advance God's plan for peace on earth? In the name of God, creating presence, redeeming Christ, and life-giving and inspiring Spirit, amen. Stand and affirm our faith in the words of